You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The ultimate upset has happened. A 16 has beaten a 1. UMBC knocks off Virginia 74-54. The madness has hit its peak as a 16 defeats a 1 for the first time in NCAA history.
Looking, throws it into Rockmont at midcourt. 2 seconds, Rockmont off the pool, 3 for the win. He got it! He got it! Jordan Poole, the freshman, hits it at the buzzer, and Michigan is off to the Sweet 16.
Off the timeline, 8 seconds, Custer dribbling right. Custer stops, fires a 15-footer, bounces, and it goes! It went in! 3.6 seconds left, Schofield to inbound, into Bone, on the run, into the front court, top of the key, 3 at the buzzer, no! And Loyola wins, the Ramblers win it, on to the Sweet 16.
It's been madness, I tell you. Opening week of the NCAA tournament, nothing anyone expected. And we heard a couple of buzzer beaters there. And Poole beat Houston with the Big E in the house. Of course, we all remember the Big E from his days with the Baltimore, then Washington Bullets. Here to talk about the NCAA tournament, the craziness that has happened, and some of the stuff happening off the court as well. ESPN, he's on the Ackerman Security Hotline. He played in a few of these things himself. He's Jay Billis. Jay, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. And before we get to the awesomeness of what UMBC did, I was reading a story about Virginia and how they were a fraud after they lost first 16 to lose to a 1. And when you go through the ACC losing only one game, regular season and conference tournament, and that one loss was in overtime, how do you get fraud out of anything that Virginia accomplished this year?
Did you say fraud or flawed?
Fraud. Fraudulent.
Yeah, that's stupid. Look, the funny part about all this to me is I don't know why we can't just enjoy this rather than pretending this is the first time that anything like this has ever happened. This is the first time that a 16 beat a 1. But if you go back to when the field expanded to 64 in 1985, actually there were a lot of really close calls back then. The margin has grown over the years. This was lightning striking, but as far as like the other upsets in the bracket, most of this, if not all of it's happened before. The only thing that and it's happened multiple times. We have two double digit seeds made it through the Sweet 16. All right. Have you ever heard of that before?
It's been a while.
It hasn't been a while. Actually, it happens almost annually. And it, you know how many times we've had three double digit seeds in the Sweet 16?
4.
13.
Damn.
We've also had 4 that happened in, I think it was 1990, and we had 5 in 1999. So, and that was back before the one-and-done era, and we're trying to say that, oh, all this is because of one-and-done. It's not. Like, this tournament has yielded upsets forever, and we're trying to, like so many of us pundits, it's amazing, like, the lack of historical perspective that we have. And I don't know why we can't just like have a good time and enjoy it. This is sports. If you threw 64 NFL teams into a tournament, you would have the exact same happening. Some years there are more, some years there are less. You know, the truth is the craziest tournament we ever had was 2008, where all number one seeds made it to the Final Four. That's only happened once. Like, that's the crazy stuff. This is actually, I don't want to say normal, But it is pretty normal with regard to the number of upsets that we've had. The two things that were unprecedented this year were UMBC winning a 16 beating a 1, and then in the South region, none of the top 4 seeds made it to the Sweet 16. That's never happened before. We've had 3 of the 4 not make it, but we've never had all the top 4 all trip all over themselves and fall down. But other than that, there's really nothing about this tournament that is unprecedented. I mean, unprecedented means it's never happened before. And this has happened before. Not only has it happened once, it's happened a lot. And we've actually had, if you want to say worse, we've actually had far more double-digit seeds and crazy seeds that made it through to the Sweet 16 and beyond.
Hey, Jay, do you think Kentucky did much work on Buffalo prior to the tournament, figuring that I'm sure they figured they were getting Arizona in the second game?
They might. Yeah, they always do work. Everybody does both teams and goes into both teams. It's basically a four-team tournament. So, yeah, they did the work. But were they happier to get Buffalo? You're darn right they were.
Yeah.
And just like Duke's a lot happier to get Syracuse than they would have been to get Michigan State. I mean, the team that I think got the biggest break with all the upsets, it would be Kentucky 1 and Duke 2 would be the two that would be most pleased. Nobody has an easy route to the Final Four. Those don't exist. But there are easier paths. And both Duke and Kentucky got easier paths as a result of the upsets.
Jay Billis joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And you mentioned Syracuse. They beat Michigan State as an 11 seed. They were in the first four game in Dayton. A lot of people, Jay, said they didn't belong in the NCAA tournament. Heard a little bit of that chatter 2 years ago when they went to the Final Four. USC on the outside looking in. I mean, they're proving their worthiness, obviously, but looking back.
No, they're not.
Well, kind of.
That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Anybody that gets in the tournament, you know, you have a chance to win.
Right.
And you can outperform your credentials to get in. And similarly, you know, Virginia lost. It didn't mean they didn't deserve to be a number one seed. You know, like the results of the tournament have nothing to do with whether they should or should not have gotten in. Nobody's saying the teams can't win when they get in, especially power conference teams, because they're usually better than some of the smaller conference teams that get in as automatics. So just because they won doesn't validate the fact that they got in. And if they lost, it didn't mean they didn't belong. I mean, I differ with people that look at it that way.
Should they have been in? Then looking back,
I think it was a close call. Yeah, I mean, I don't. That's a good question. I think it was a really close call, and I think the committee made some mistakes and they went against their principles, frankly, with a lot of the teams that they let in. I didn't think that Oklahoma belonged, even though they could have and belonged. I don't mean they couldn't win; they certainly could have won, but their body of work was not such that they should have made it into the field. And Syracuse did not win a lot of quality games. They played a lot of close games. But you know, just because you beat a fellow 11 seed and then you jump up and you beat an overseeded 6 in TCU, and then, you know, they pulled a major upset, that does, you know, they've been capable of beating good teams all year long. They've pulled some upsets before. They've also got beat a lot. And I'd be surprised if Duke doesn't beat them by double digits. I think that's going to happen.
Jay, I'll tell you, a game that I'm looking forward to is Michigan-Texas A&M. I didn't know that much about Texas A&M, but Michigan's been playing extremely well as of late, and all of a sudden A&M, you know, was pretty impressive over the weekend.
Well, A&M was a top-five team earlier in the season. They had a bunch of injuries and a bunch of suspensions. And now that all their players are back, you know, they've played really well in the tournament. But remember, like, they lost in the SEC tournament. And they lost double-digit games during the course of the season. Now, part of that was due to the injury and due to the suspension. But you know, they've had their whole roster, and they had it all together for the SEC tournament, didn't win that. So they're fully capable. You know, they played very well, and North Carolina was awful. I mean, that was the worst I'd seen North Carolina play since they lost to Wofford earlier this year at the Smith Center. They were horrendous. And that's been a common theme. Like, Virginia played its worst game by far against UMBC, and UMBC played very well, but Virginia was awful, frankly. And so usually when, like, if you look at it from both sides, you know, usually when you have a monumental upset, one team played really well and the other team played far less than their capabilities. It's pretty rare that you have both teams playing their best. And you have an upset like that, it usually doesn't happen that way.
Jay, Vinny referenced Michigan, and they won the Big Ten tournament. And, of course, it went through Madison Square Garden a week earlier than normal, blah, blah, blah. They did have a longer wait than the rest to get back on the floor. And, yes, they are in the Sweet 16. Buzzer beat it to do it. Does that take a little bit of the mojo that they had away? And now are they like, okay, second win, we're ready to roll back to where we were up in Madison Square Garden a couple weeks back?
It depends. I mean, you know, some teams catch fire and keep it for a while. Other teams have it for a short period of time. Nobody knows that. And that's you know, that's just sports. You have, heck, you know, in the NFL playoffs, You had teams that were really hot, and then they turn around and get crushed in the next week. We saw that this last year. You have odd results and weird plays at the end, like when the Vikings won. Who can account for that stuff? You can't. If you could in basketball, we'd all be in Vegas right now, sitting by the pool counting our money. Nobody knows the results of these things, and that's been true forever. And it's really funny. Like the first year, we always thought we knew in college football because they picked the last two teams to play. So we felt like, okay, well, we know who's going to win and who's not. They opened it up to four teams, and the very first year, the fourth team won it. And if they opened it up to eight, the eighth team would win it. That would happen in certain years. And that's what happens in basketball. It's very much the same.
So, Jay, of the UMBC, the Loyola, the Nevada coach, the hot coaches, which one do they all upgrade to different jobs, or do the schools that they are coaching keep them?
Well, I mean, if the upgrade means more money, very few people turn those down. I mean, the history of this has been, you do well in the tournament, and somebody's willing to hire you, you take it. So it's rare that people stay where they are. Mark Few stayed where he is, but his school has upgraded everything. They pay him now equivalent to what any major conference can pay. He knows he's going to be competitive in his league every year. His team charters everywhere, just like a big shot would. So he's got a major conference job and a mid-major conference. And it's a great place to live. But most others want a chance to win at the highest level. And in order to do that, you're going to have to usually take a major conference job.
Jay Billis, before we let you roll, we had Frank Burleson on last week, our buddy, and he thinks because of the FBI probe that has been well documented and reported on multiple times, 10 to 15 coaches in this year's NCAA tournament are going to be ex-coaches. What does your intel say about what could be happening here in regards to the amount of carnage, if you will, happening after the tournament?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. You don't really know yet because they haven't gone. There hasn't been any trial yet. And as soon as more information comes out, maybe more get implicated, you don't really know for sure. I don't dispute that number. It could be less. It could be more, frankly. I don't really know what's going to happen. All I know is the fans don't care. This FBI thing has not impacted viewership in the least. It's not impacted the tournament. You're not hearing the NCAA talk about it right now. They want to keep that on the back burner until they pocket all the money from the tournament. And what's really interesting is not one game has been canceled and not one contract has gone unfulfilled. Every game's been played at the appointed time and every check is cleared. And when there were questions about player eligibility a month ago, as the tournament was coming, the NCAA worked with the schools to clear those players within 24 hours. And they never do that, ever. So this is just business as usual. And no matter what happens in this, they're not going to mess with this tournament. And they're not going to mess with the regular season games. This industry is going to keep rolling.
Jay, who's cutting down the nets in San Antonio?
I think Villanova and Duke have the two best chances now. Obviously, people can be beaten, but those are the two best teams remaining. But the tournament's been really fun to watch. It's been kind of up and down. Some of the games have been really good. Some of the games have been blowouts. But it's been really enjoyable to watch as usual.
Jay Billis, ESPN. Check him out during the tournament all year long, talking college basketball. Jay, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Jay.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. You got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.